Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Tonight we're going to do a topical study, Patient with All Men, taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul is writing to the believers at Thessalonica, and of course there's many things in his writings, but he gave a special challenge for believers to tend to each other, to keep them on track with and for the Lord. And we're going to consider this simple yet profound multi-point challenge tonight in our study. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. All bundled together, because at one time or another we can be like that. And believably, in this room, at any given time, we can find somebody who may be unruly, feeble-minded, weak, and they need some exhortation, some comfort, and some patience. The first thing that I want to draw to your attention, brethren, this is talking to born-again people. We live among each other. We worship among each other. We need to help each other, comfort each other, be patient with each other. Paul is actually teaching us here proper interaction with brethren. And he sets forth some very simple yet profound truths that can positively interact and help each other in a positive way. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. And be patient toward all men. Now we must remember, as we consider, this is written to brethren, the unsaved, in some respects, you can help, and etc. But in its deepest context here, when brothers, born-again people, sealed with the Holy Spirit, are among each other, there truly is to be a special interaction of exhorting, of being patient, of warning, of comfort as support. All the people in this passage are Christian, because Christians can be unruly, feeble-minded, and weak. No one's exempt. We're made of the dust of the ground, and sometimes the frame gets a little tired. And in the heat of a moment, we may say or do something we wish we hadn't. Or we get tired, and our thinking gets wrong. So Paul exhorts the group at Thessalonica and readers throughout the years. We exhort you, plural, all of you, listen to what is being said. We exhort, call close, to invoke, to beseech, to entreat. Listen to me, Paul is saying. And he is bringing them together. So everybody, you get this? I want you to get this now. This is how I want you to interact with each other. I want you to consider this. Among the socializing, consider these great truths. He sets forth the unruly need to be warned. The feeble-minded need comfort. The weak need support. And so he is preparing Christians to go among other Christians, to go among each other. And remember, when you see someone unruly, warn them. When you see someone feeble-minded, comfort them. When you see someone weak, support them. Help them. The church is not supposed to be people just come in the back door, we worship, and we walk out, and that's it till next Sunday. We are to truly have a camaraderie that can only be found in Christ. Please notice that the Scripture does not say, condemn the unruly, rebuke the feeble-minded, ignore the weak. Don't do that. Do you see somebody that needs a kind word? Apply yourself, and you be the one. Remember this. Someday you might be a little unruly. Someday you might be feeble-minded. And someday you might be weak. How do you want somebody to talk to you? How about in a still, small voice? Calmly, kindly. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now you know what the word answer implies. You were quiet and you listened. You don't answer first and then hear the question. Or you understand the situation. You respond after you listen. And your speech should always be with grace. Quote, gracious speech flows from a heart established in the grace of God. The psalmist wrote of Jesus, grace is poured into thy lips. Look at Psalm 45:2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. The rewards of watching your words. And Psalm 18:35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and underline this, and thy gentleness has made me great. Not God's wrath, not his fury, his gentleness hath made me great. This is how we ought to be with each other, comforting, patient, gentle. It is possible for believers to be like this. And I think most of you can probably think of a time all of those pertain to you. Now, it tells me also, as we think about this verse, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, just be patient to all men. Now, I want you to get this. It means you're going to see needs. You will sometimes see somebody who may be a little unruly, needs a little bit of kind, seasoned with salt words. You might see someone who's weak or feeble-minded. Don't live in denial. Face it. Paul's saying you're going to see this. Well, I'll just ignore it. I don't want to get involved. I want you to understand, this, yes, is important. But I don't want to unleash a group of vigilantes that everybody's afraid to come to church now. Temper this all with wisdom. To this labor of love we have been called, unruly, insubordinate. Here is a Christian who is not in submission to whatever the rules are. It is God who establishes authority, and it is for all to obey them. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, in those days when that was written, they had a king or a Caesar. But authority is authority, and God says, I have ordained it. So when we rebel against the authority, who are we rebelling against? God. It's interesting that Paul says, warn them. He doesn't say, stop them. Now there's an obvious, if somebody's going to shove somebody in front of a freight train. But in common sense, we are supposed to be warning But we're not here to control each other's life. Take a kind word and diligently consider it. Gee, somebody said that to me. And take it. Okay, it's in love now. And see if maybe there's some truth to what they said. Warn, to put in mind. It literally means to reprove gently. Comfort the feeble-minded, little-spirited, faint-hearted. And whose thinking sometimes doesn't get feeble? 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1 tells us that David got feeble thinking. And David said in his heart, he's thinking, his innermost thinking and foundational convictions, I shall now perish one day at the hand of Saul. You were ordained to be the king. It's implied you're going to be alive. And he has lost control of his thinking. He has feeble-minded thinking. And if you continue on in that passage, David then went on to do some foolish things because he was controlled by his feeble-minded thinking. Comfort the feeble-minded. It does not say rebuke or belittle the feeble-minded. It doesn't say to just get over it, buddy. Console, encourage, to relate. Remember, one day you're going to be feeble-minded, weak, strengthless, more feeble, without strength. And this happens to people. Again, let us take a look at David, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 10. David has fled, unfortunately, to the Philistines, and there he finds supposed refuge, but it turns into a giant mess. And they have to go recover some things that were stolen and taken. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for the 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. He had 600 men. Two of them were so weak, they were so tired, and these are dynamic men. But life has worn on them, and these 200 couldn't go anymore. So 400 go, they fight the battle while the others are sitting back with the stuff. And when they get back, they took the plunder, and there's all this wealth. And some of the men said, hey, these guys didn't join the battle. We're not giving them anything. And David said, no. Everybody gets equal. And he was respectful to the weak. They were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. They need support. They don't need rebuke. They need cared for. Patience is needed in working with people. Be patient toward all men, because unruly people, weak people, and feeble-mindedness take your time to help. And you need to be patient. And don't expect in one sitting, all of a sudden, all the problems are cured. They may have to talk to you again and again and get encouraged. And you help them with patience to overcome whatever the need is. Be patient toward all men. You know how you do this? You love each other. Not in the sense the world uses love, but in a sense of brotherly love. So much so that Christ died for us. That's how much he loved us. This is my commandment, John 15, 12, that ye love one another. It's a command. As I have loved you. How did he love us? He died for us. When we were unlovable, when we were yet without strength, while we were lost in sin. Feeble-minded or weak, we shouldn't be feeble-minded. Well, that's just the way God made me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He wants us to have sound thinking, a sound mind based upon his word. Think about it. Whenever we're worried, whenever we're fretting, we're not meditating on God's word. We're meditating on all that's going wrong. They have wrong thinking, and you're to help them. Yes, he's given us a sound mind, but we have to mature into it. Have you noticed that feeble-minded people have wrong thinking, and those wrong thinking we could call mind games? You ever heard the expression? And mind games are wrong thinking. I just know what so-and-so is thinking about me. Really? Be patient towards all men. They are playing quite often mind games. Christian, let me make this very practical. You're trying to help somebody and your patience are being tried. And you lose it on them. I just knew you didn't like me. I just knew you felt that way about me. Don't lose it on somebody. You will reaffirm their mind game. I just knew you didn't want to be around me. Don't do that. And then, of course, it really was your fault. And even to apologize, they're going to say, yeah, but you did get tired of me, didn't you? I mean, that's reality. Let's deal with it. So we must keep ourselves composed when we're helping other people. When we lose it, we contribute to more feeble thinking or whatever. See, we need each other to help us when we're unruly. Now, when you do that, I want to put a great big warning in here. If you're going to help somebody you think they're doing something wrong, be absolutely careful that you are not coming across as more spiritual than they are. I have learned one of the things throughout the years is when you want to talk to someone about a problem, point them to the scriptures. Don't say something, well, I would never do that. Yeah, you would. You're a sinner saved by grace. You have the capacity just like everybody else. Stay on the issue and show them in the scriptures. You know, I have learned this too. Very common. I have a little toolbox in my mind of Bible verses that are so commonly needed. Because people have asked me certain questions so many times, it's not that I don't know anything else, isn't here. Job 23, 8 through 10. Got it? 1 Samuel 27, 1. John 3, 16. There are a handful of verses that go a long way in helping somebody. So keep the issue not you against them, but with the Bible. With the feeble-minded, give them compassion. With the weak, support them. Whatever you do, don't come across with the attitude, I just don't have time for this, buddy. Now, maybe at the immediate moment, again, let common sense dictate, right? If you truly can't do it, you have to say, can we pick this up later? Be part of the solution. Don't contribute to the need. I want you to remember that great men in the Bible needed encouraging. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. God was calling him to go back and to lead the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage, and he's standing here making excuses. I can't do this. And the truth is, you're right. God did not say, you're wrong. You aren't slow of speech. I personally believe Moses was slow of speech. Maybe he had a cleft palate or something. I don't know. And he says, I am slow of speech. God didn't say, you're not slow. And I have a slow tongue. I believe he did. And God still was going to choose him because God uses the weak things, doesn't he? But he needed encouraging. How about Joshua? He is ready to take Moses' place after Moses dies. Deuteronomy 1:38, Moses says this to the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him. Well, I thought the great Joshua didn't need any encouragement. He's only made of the dust of the ground. How about Jeremiah? Did he need encouragement? Chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, but I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Kind words of pointing him in the right direction. He did not say, You're not a child. Probably by comparison to a lot of people, he was still a very young person. And God says, I know what I'm doing. Don't say that now. We're going to move past that. Because I can do great things with people that will trust and obey. God entrusts us to help each other. Did you know that people do better when they're encouraged? Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Kind words. Help each other. Be patient with each other. And you know, if we do this encouragement and friendliness, did you know you can prevent problems? If we handle this, and as we say, nip it in the bud, we don't have to necessarily wait for a problem. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We ought to be doing kind words and kind deeds to everyone, but especially in this room. We ought to make a conscious effort. When should we do this? As we have opportunity. Well, I did my good deed for today. I'm out of here. Is not the principle. Whenever you have an opportunity, right now, and the opportunity can pop up. Kind word doesn't cost anything, does it? And you can carry it with you wherever you go. Get ready to give it away. Did you know that when you take someone who's weak, unruly, feeble-minded, and you pass on to them comforting words, words of guidance, words of help, do you know what you did? You just made somebody else capable now of joining and helping to help others. You worked yourself out of a job with that person, so now that person can, if you will, work by your side helping other people. When you come to church, come with the attitude of how can I bless somebody? Sometimes people feel like, well, yeah, but I'm just really nothing in my Christian life. I mean, you know, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a missionary, I'm not this, I'm not that. Now, maybe if you've been rebellious, that's a different thing. But again, we're dealing with the assumption now that these Christians are in church and they are trying to function. Did you know that little things really matter to God? They really do. Christ gave the illustration. For when I was hungered, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick. You visited me in a prison, and you came unto me. And the Lord saw thee. When did you see we hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And saw we a stranger, or took thee in, naked, clothed thee? And the king answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least. Did you do something kind for some humble person? One of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. God cares. He sees that humble effort of kindness, of encouragement. How about the widow's humble giving? Mark 12:42, and there came a certain poor woman, and she threw in 2 mites, that's for an offering, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more. Earthly speaking, we'd say she didn't put anything in there practically. But God knew she gave what she had. I heard it one time said, it's not what you give, it's what you kept that you ought to be concerned about. And how about this, James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, ready? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Oh, well, I mean, okay, so I'm going to go visit some lady, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And God says, that is a blessing. That is right. As we get our thinking under control, we start to think differently. And we start to see things God's way. This world is going to pass away. I hope everybody has that ingrained in their brain. And therefore, we need to tend to the things in this life that really matter. Because this is all going to be gone. We will take nothing except what we did for Christ with us into eternity. Are you weak and feeble-minded? Don't quit. Even if nobody's noticing it and giving you comfort, God is. People will fail. God never fails. Think about this. Hearing and acting on a Bible message is as important, if not more important, than delivering the message. See, you have a tremendous responsibility right now, and so do I. I've been called to open up my mouth, thus saith the Lord. You have the responsibility to take it in and do something with it. Everybody has cares in this life. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The cares aren't the sin, it's your reaction to the cares. And it says to cast all your care upon him. Cast, but it doesn't say reel it back in. Because if you cast and you reel it back in your prayer life, I promise you will catch a worry. Throw that worry onto the Lord. He cares for you. Did you know that if we were to take and write down, let's say, our top 10 things that are on our list, and we shared it with each other, you'd say many times, well, that's not a big deal. And okay, that's a deal, but that's not a deal, that's not a deal. Yeah. Because what's important to us is not necessarily important to anybody else. What are you worried about? Comfort people. I want you to get this too. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your care upon him, for he cares. There's two different cares. Our cares are our worries. The things that we see in our lives that need to be tended to, and God has a care also, and it's for other people. We have cares. Cast that care on God, because he has a care too, and that is, I want to bless and care for you and guide you and see you through to a good, fulfilling life serving me. Now we exalt you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And by way of warning, as we reach our conclusion, this is not a license for you to come in here. Okay, who's going to encourage me today? And who is going to give me, you know, blah, blah, blah? No, if we all take on the attitude here, don't seek to be the recipient, although you will be. It's true, I understand that. But when you're trying to help somebody else, watch how God blesses you through your trial and tribulation. Come in here with an attitude of helping others. And there's nothing wrong with saying to somebody, you know, I need to talk to you. That's okay. And remember to be patient with all men, as God is patient with you.
This is Pastor Rod Hollard. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.